둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Beautiful.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here for checking out the series. If you're not already, hit that subscribe button. You know how it works. I'll send you new interviews just like this one every single week. You can grab a Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. You know those always help these series out. I've had some great guests on lately. Seth MacFarlane was here, the guy who invented Family Guy and American Dad and Ted, and he also sings like Sinatra. We talk about all of that. Shirley Manson of Garbage, maybe the guest I've had on this show the most. Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker himself, who's starring in new Stephen King movies. We talk with Finn Wolfhard of Stranger Things. Imperial Teen and Rainer Maria were here. Auli'i Carvalho, you know her as the voice of Moana. Lenny Warrenker, John Densmore of The Doors. Hannah John Common, who stars as Ghost in Thunderbolts. Kevin Bacon, Jennifer Nettles, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with Zara Larsson. She, of course, first hit the spotlight by winning Sweden's Got Talent at age 10. 10? Casually belting out Celine Dion like it was no big deal. A few viral years, one sleeper hit with Uncover, and a full-blown global smash later with Lush Life. And she was already being touted as the next big thing in European pop. And to her credit, she stuck the landing. She since built her discography that mixes empowerment anthems with Euroclub bangers, teamed up with the likes of David Guetta, BTS, and Clean Bandit, and used her platform to become one of pop's most quotable truth tellers, whether she's calling out sexism in the industry or just roasting dudes online. And now she's back with the just-announced album Midnight Sun, arriving only a year after Venus. She reflects in this interview on her shift from perfection paralysis to creative freedom, saying she's done second-guessing and ready to not stop. She'll dive into working with her latest crew, who helped shape a cohesive, dance-floor-friendly collection filled with bangers and spiritual moments alike. She also discusses how the title track, Midnight Sun, pays tribute to the joy of existing, while the lead single, Pretty Ugly, lets her loose and shout. She sounds great doing that, too. Plus, singing over glass-filled mud pits, covering ABBA, thanks to a fan DM, and hitting the road with Tate McRae. We talk about all of that and more as we get into Midnight Sun. It's Kyle Meredith with Zara Larsson.
Hey!
Hey, it's great to have you. And I say with a brand new album, this is just announced new album right here. So quick after the last one, and no complaints, but this is a little bit quicker than we're a bit used to for you.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, I took 4 years in between my first album, So Good, and my second, Poster Girl. And now it's just barely 1 year. But I feel like in a dream world, you would do, or I would do like Ariana, like one album every year and just keep going with it. Because I feel like there's something about finding something that works and that just keep releasing. keep the momentum going and just stay in it. Because now I'm ready to, not stop. I think that was, looking back at it, one of my biggest mistakes, actually, to actually not release anything and just be kind of in my head about, is this good enough? What will people think about this? You know, it's this something that will be as commercially successful as my previous album. And now I'm just all about having fun making music. And I feel like I really achieved a track, 10 track album that I'm super proud of, and that I don't want to wait to release. I think the more the better. This is really like my greatest body of work to this day, like easily, I would say.
So did that change then how you even approached writing?
You mean in the sense of like just getting into it and
Yeah,
having
I mean, if things are going to move quicker, because when did you did you write this while on the Venus tour? Was it in between,
No, it
dates?
was kind of in between. I had just released it, and I knew, of course, I wanted to make another album because that's how I live my life. So I had just dropped Venus and kind of finished the tour. And then we had had, me and MNEK, who's the executive producer of this album, we have had like a lot of sessions with each other before. My first ever session was with him in LA, and we wrote Never Forget You, which we later on released as like a duet. And I feel like I knew I wanted him to be executively producing it because he just brings something out of me that is confident, and also confident enough to be vulnerable, to not always be like the sassy fun girl, but to be comfortable in being myself. And I didn't start off my career with writing. I just wanted a mic in my hand and a stage to perform on. So I've been kind of growing into the writer role that I'm in now, which is very exciting because the older I get, the not the less of a performer I want to be, but definitely the more of an artist I want to be. Like, I actually want to create what I do. I want to say the things that I'm saying. I want it to be my words, and I want the ideas of the videos and the world to come from me, because if it doesn't, then what's the point, you know? What's the point? I've been doing this for a long time. So now I'm like, oh, okay. I got it. I got it. I've gotten it the whole time. I think it was just hard to be, you know, signed as a very young girl and had so many amazing people helping me out. I think it made me think like, well, these people know better than I do. But that's not the case, and it never is the case. So this album just came together so quick because it just was the most immaculate vibes in the studio. Every time we went in, we wrote like three songs, and they were all bangers every day. It was just like, what is happening? Like, it was an amazing, amazing vibe. I was writing it with MNEK. Margo XS was producing most of the stuff on the album, Helena Gao. And it was really magic being created in those rooms that we were in. So the difference in how I approached it was also, instead of just going in without really a purpose or a kind of like, yeah, I guess purpose, you know, I just usually beforehand I went in, and also I was in with so many different people. And then it's kind of hard to like, okay, hey, look back at what we got now. Oh, we got this. Okay, let's put this in the pile of, this is what we're gonna finish, this is what we're gonna do. Because if you're in with different people every session, you don't really get that like overview of the full picture. But when you do it with the same group of people, you guys, like, we know what we did last week. We know what we did a month ago. And every time we wrote an amazing song, instead of just saying, oh, that's amazing, let's make another one like that, we would say, oh, that's amazing, let's put that on the album.
Which
You
is
know,
makes
like,
the difference, right? I mean, that's the difference between a collection of songs and an album, usually.
literally. And it sounds so silly to say that out loud because it's like, duh. But honestly, when you are working with a lot of different people and you're working every day and you're working and you're working and you're working, and the fact that even before I was working with this team, I was in with some of the best writers and producers. Like, they're all amazingly talented. And that makes it almost even harder to be like, where are we going with this? What are we doing? What am I trying to say? But yeah, you're right. It makes the difference. It's the difference between a collection of songs and an album. And I really like understood that now. And I think I started discovering that during my last album, Venus, which was the one that came out like a year ago, that okay, I think my thing is to really keep it small and tight and to stay in a circle of people who are actually doing this together with me.
And we'll be right back right after this. Hey, it's Kyle Meredith. Are you ready to lose weight? With Effecty, getting access to powerful, personalized GLP-1 weight loss medications has never been easier or more affordable. These medications work by regulating appetite and blood sugar, helping you lose weight in a sustainable, science-backed way. And getting started is simple. Fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with a licensed provider through a quick chat-based telehealth consultation. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door, no hassle, no waiting rooms. With transparent pricing, no hidden fees, and no membership required, Effecty is committed to making proven weight loss treatments accessible to everyone. And no matter where you live, Effecty makes it easy to access GLP-1 treatments. The entire process is online and remote, so you can start your weight loss journey from the comfort of your home without the hassle of commuting or long wait times. Whether you're in a major city or a small town, you can access top-tier care from licensed professionals at your convenience. So, are you ready to level up your weight loss game? Right now, my listeners can get $50 off GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with code KMW at checkout. That's Effecty.com, EFFECTY.com, and use the code KMW to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatments. No hassles, no memberships, and no hidden fees. So what are you waiting for? Get started today.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Zara Larsson.
And Venus had such a sound to it as well. Like
Yeah.
when you like, for you to have realized that sound, is that do you typically work like that anyway? Maybe more so as you're saying now, but like I guess what I'm eventually getting to is like when you get into this record, like what becomes the vision? What's the sound that you're looking for?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, some of my friends in the music industry that are artists, they have this idea of, I guess, sort of like a character that they want to be for this album that they're making. And then they're finding like the style, the kind of clothes they're going to wear for that, and then kind of find like the sound of what the sound is and like the songs that they want to make to fit into that sound. I think that, I mean, personally, I'm a very much like right here, right now. So when I walk into a session, I rarely have things that I'm like, I want to talk about this. I've thought about this. We should do this. I just want to feel the vibe of the day. How do I feel today? How do you guys feel today? Hey, did you see? I saw this on the I saw this on Instagram. I was scrolling. Isn't this funny? And then I want to start like a conversation, and then I want to feel free and excited, and then we just connect our little brains to the song God that exists somewhere. And then once you get into that flow, and I think I really realized that before, I used to be so scared of like singing out loud or making up these mumbly words to a melody that doesn't mean anything. But the more you do it and the freer you become in that, I think the more of a creative flow I end up in. And then once you're in there, there's no ego. There's no like good or bad. There's no right or wrong. It just kind of exists. And then this energy that we all kind of tap into with each other, it's more about like bouncing off of each other. Somebody did something amazing. Oh, I really like that. Let's build off of that. Oh, let's build off of that. I think it's really hard to write songs by myself. I think it's really hard to even think when I'm by myself because I'm the type of person who needs to exist and think through other people. Like I have to s express myself out loud, and as I'm speaking or as I'm singing, that's when I know if I actually agree with what I'm singing or saying or not. But I need to say it out loud. And I think, obviously, as someone who has been doing this for a long time, but still kind of shy to say like, oh, I'm a writer first, because I still think I'm a performer first, but I'm definitely going there. It's just so much more easy to end up in that space of the creative flow when you're with people that you trust and you love, and they kind of also understand you, not only as a musician, but as a person. And you don't really have to explain yourself. You just kind of like, oh, we're already on the same vibe.
I feel like I'm safe to say that I can tell you that you're in a band. That's what you're
Pretty much.
describing. Yeah, you're in a band, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's not crazy at all when I think about it, because that's what it is. Like us four creating this album, we should have had like a name. We should come up with a name now. Like the dream team, you know, because every person brings something special into the room. No matter what you do, every single person uniquely is like are bringing in something special into a room, into a conversation. And you know, we had other people coming in too, and it was still amazing, but it wasn't the same. And that's not saying it was like better or worse, but everyone has like their own energy. And I just think when we four combine our energy, it just turned magic. And when people say, oh, how did you write this song? Like, what happened? And truth be told, like, they just kind of appeared. They just happened, and they happened very quickly. And that's how I like to work. I like to just be a stream of consciousness, get it out, and then you can obviously go back and like tweak or fix a few things. But whatever happened that day was what happened that day. And then you can keep like downloading from the song god, like whatever is, you know, happening in the. I like the thought of like every song is kind of already created in an ice, some sort of like ice sculpture, and you just gotta carve it out and like see. I feel like a lot of people has been saying that before, but I like to think of it that way, that it's just something you bring home in out into the world.
Certain artists, you will agree 100% with you. Like anytime I have Tori Amos on the show, and she talks about the muses, you know, the muses that are kind of gifting her these songs,
Yeah.
and it becomes her responsibility to carry them in that way. There was a quote, and I'm probably paraphrasing a little bit, that you'd put up recently that I love in the context that we're talking about. I'm looking for here. I don't give a fuck, but I do care a lot, and I hope, and I pray, and I manifest.
Yeah, that's the vibe. That is honestly the vibe of the whole album, because it's very carefree and it's very fun and, you know, present. Like, I don't care. I don't give a fuck. Like, whatever, nothing matters. But then, in the same breath, because of that, it's like everything matters, you know? So, like, I hope and I like manifest and I dream and I pray and I wish, because, like, that's really all we have in a sense. So, I try to not care, but then it's like, but that's why I care so much, because I don't care about anything. It's a weird,
That
it's a
makes
weird.
total sense. It makes total sense. It shouldn't,
Yeah.
right? But it does. It
Yeah.
makes total sense.
And it also brings back so much of that. I feel like this album was so fun and inspiring to make for me, because I know when I started making music, when I released my first song at 15, which is more than like 10 years ago, I also didn't have anything to compare to. I didn't have anything to like relate my music to more than my like teenage life and my friends in school and that. But it was very carefree, and it was very free of like judgment from myself. It was free of pressure. And then after So Good did so well, I, like I said earlier, felt like a huge amount of pressure for myself that I had to kind of live up to the standard of that album. And then that kind of took away the joy of making music and like why I do it. But this one was just like, it just felt so fun to make. And I think that you will hear the difference in just the way the sounds, like the sounds that we picked out.
Oh, geez, the very first single with Pretty Ugly. I mean, that's a
Yeah, there's just
different sound for you, right?
no
Yeah.
nuance. It is. And I think I was less concerned about like How will this land for people? Will radio play this? Like, will ra I thought it was also really fun to do Pretty Ugly as the first song because it's kind of unexpected, but I still love it and I love the attitude of it. And I feel like it's setting the tone for what the album is. Not that the rest of it kind of sounds like that, but it has the unapologeticness of it. And then everything that goes from there is still in the same vein of, yeah, of the feeling of like the attitude of it.
By the way, that vocal take on Pretty Ugly is so good. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know what you had to like what you do in those moments to get into that. The mindsets, I
Lot of gang
guess.
vocals. Because we were just saying, like, I want a song where I'm just kind of shouting. Never really had that when I'm just, it's just trying to not be pretty. And even the production, like, not that it's a bad production, but it's not like the cleanest, poppiest sound. And I really enjoy that. And I really like that. And I think also Margot, who produced it, is it's really exciting one because I'm a pop girl. Like, this is a pop album. Like, I do pop and I love pop, but to push it a little bit and to push my boundaries a little bit, I thought it was so exciting to also bring in Margot Access, who is like so good at, she does a lot of like trance or even punk or like really hard hitting electronics, and like bringing kind of that world into the pop world, I think, is a lot more exciting than really trying to push like someone who only does pop production into something different. I think it's very difficult to do that, and very exciting to bring in someone who is from another world, but like into the pop world, because Margot still has like the sauce of what she usually makes, but over the vocals of like a pop top line. Yeah.
And it works so well. I mean, all my favorite, when I if I think through it, like most of my favorite pop's got it's got some dirt on it, you know? It's
Yeah.
got some rough around the edges a little bit.
Yeah. And that's, especially in these days. I mean, we don't know what the future holds, but like especially with like AI and that, I feel like if a song sounds like, oh, an AI could have made this, I'm just like, throw it in the bin. No, it's too bright, it's too pretty, it's too polished.
And a fun video too, by the way. Did no one twist anything in that mud pit?
No, actually not. We were luckily all unharmed, but it was so cold, and it was like so many pieces of glass in that mud. I don't know what they did before. I don't know what the area was, but I'm so thankful that no one like even had a little cut or a scratch. But it turned out really, really fun. And to just be like very girly, very messy, kind of letting loose, but it's still look, it's like still very pretty, but getting mad. Yeah, I thought I had a great time.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Zara Larsson. And
Yeah.
then we have the second single, of course, with Midnight Sun here,
Yay.
which we don't have one of those, of course, in America. You all have one in
No.
Sweden. But what did, tell me about this track too, because what was it about this that the song gods delivered you?
So basically, I've been trying to write a song called Midnight Sun for so long, and I was just in another interview, and the girl was like, "Oh, it's so amazing because like Midnight Sun, that just means like, like a symbol of a sun that never goes down, and it's like very positive." And it's true because that's what it is, but also it's actually literally like a midnight sun because where I'm from, in the summertime, like it just never goes dark. And it's a nod to I wanted to write about my country house and how I feel when I go back home just to be with my friends and family. And I can just be present with the company of like the people I love. And a summer's night for me in Sweden is so magical and beautiful. And I wanted to just capture that in a song because it's a love song about life and how beautiful life is, which is like the biggest love of them all, I think, to just be feeling joy for like existing. So it is a little spiritual in the sense of just wanting to be in that moment forever, or for the moment to never end. Like it just never ends, and it goes on and on and on and on. And even though, the album is gonna come out later in the fall, like pre-fall, I feel like I want the feeling to be that it never ends. The summer just keeps going. So we go through fall, winter, and spring, and then we're back to summer. And I wanted to just sing about like my summer house, like my country house, and how I feel being there. And I feel like the chorus is like this amazing release, and it just kind of goes on and is and I love the beat drop. I love the little Jersey beat. I love the vocals. I think it's pop. I think it's dancey. I think it has some like beautiful saucy moments. To me, this is like the core of the album. I think all the songs can kind of find their way back to this like essence. Like this is the most me or how I feel right now of all the songs on the album. Midnight Sun represents like freedom and joy. And I think that's literally the most important thing in the world.
It's interesting when I was listening to it and kind of talking about, of course, what you're talking, in the literal sense with the Midnight Sun, us not having that, it almost becomes a little bit mythical.
Yeah, it is.
And which makes this song, that's the way I hear it, through that lens of this sort of, mythical sort of to a spiritual to a certain degree, which, you personify within it.
I love that. I think my whole like, if I would think about a character for this song and like this album in general, it would be to be a little, because we got so much folklore in Scandinavia, and we got so many stories, and I think I just wanted to be this little nymph that goes to the city. That's like the vibe.
That's it. That's the pull quote right there. I wanted to be the goes to the city. Did writing this song have any influence on why you started covering Gimme, 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 A Man After Midnight? Or was that just because of Ammunition, which of course has the gimme in it?
I think you know what's so funny though? It was like a fan who wrote to me on DMs, like, you should do a mashup with ABBA's Gimme Gimme. And I was like, oh, hold on a minute. You kind of ate with that. And then we tried it, and it was like, oh, this is fire. So yeah, I have to give cred to my amazing fan called Lauren, who gave me that idea.
Yeah, I've watched the videos on that. That's a really fun moment of the show right there,
It is.
too. And
And it's
hearing
so nice
everybody just
to,
erupt. Yeah.
it's just such a crowd pleaser. It's so nice to bring a bit of ABBA into the show because everybody knows the ABBA songs.
Everybody does. That's
Yeah,
a low-hanging fruit almost.
definitely.
So speaking of the shows, of course, you're going to take it on tour. You're going to be on tour with Tate McRae on this one. That's a big bill. Have you all had any communication so far?
Yeah, I met her. I saw her at the album release party that she had in LA. She's gonna come to Sweden now. I'm gonna see her then. But I figured like we'll be on tour together for a couple of months, so I'll definitely get to know her then. Usually when I'm in LA, first of all, she is so busy. She works so hard. I feel like she's never not on tour. Like she's really been grinding, and she's been putting in the work and like recording the album while on tour, and like she's really been out here putting in the work, and it's very inspiring to see how that pays off so well for her. So I can't wait to like steal her stage for a few minutes and like hopefully some fans that will show up to my show as well. But I think it's like the perfect combination of two girls who love to put on a show, loves to bring a little choreo and a sing-along moment.
And you don't mind, I guess, from what I understand, like you're planning on debuting some of these songs on the stage before they're even released. Like, is that road testing? Like, what exactly? Why
I like
do you do
that.
it? Yeah.
I like that. I've done that a lot in the past. I've actually done, it's almost like, ooh, I'm scared because now when I think about it, I haven't thought about this. It's almost like a curse that I've had because all the songs that I've been pre like singing, like, oh, let me try this out. This could be fun. I've ended up not releasing for whatever reason, but this album is done and sealed and like it's coming out. So this is definitely like, yeah, a way of testing out the crowd. Like, how are they reacting to this? Do you like this? Also, a way of kind of giving the songs a little moment, even online and like on socials, because I feel like we all spend so much time there anyways. And I really want all the songs to have their own moment. And if I could decide, like all of them would be singles, but it's hard to have, 10 singles off the album. But I do really feel like they deserve their chance in the spotlight. And usually what works really well for me is like the performance aspect of it all. When I sing live, like people really connect with that and they engage with that. So hopefully it will be a nice little preview of what's to come. And then of course Midnight Sun's out, Pretty Ugly is out, and then I'll give them, one or two more songs just to see, give them a little taste. Yeah.
Don't sell yourself short. I mean, U2, Springsteen, Michael Jackson, they had albums with like seven or eight singles.
Oh no, I know. Oh, okay. As you say like that, yeah.
You should
It's
do
not
it.
possible. And I feel like especially these days, it's like, I don't know. I mean, if I could, I'm gonna just make a video, post it on TikTok, because that's the strategy anyways, and I'm signed to a major label. They're like, you should do some TikToks for the single. I'm like, that's a great idea.
Well, seriously, it sounds like it's going to be a great year. And congratulations on this record. It's so much fun hearing this so quickly after the last one. I do hope that trend continues.
I would love that. Yeah. Thank you
It's
so much
been
for having
so
me.
nice talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And my thanks to Zara. The new album is called Midnight Sun. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Before you get out of here, hit that subscribe button if you're not already. You'll get new interviews just like this one every single week. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. And after that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. In fact, one of my recent shows features some classics and favorites from Elton John, Julianna Hatfield, The Smashing Pumpkins, Pearl Jam, Wet Leg, Bonnie Raitt, Sara Bareilles, Lizzo, Bjork, U2, Jamie Drake, Sheryl Crow, Ally and AJ, Cyndi Lauper, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Blonde Shell, and my interview with the Breeders. That's what you get when you tune in weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
Thank you.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.